prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Of Revolution Church.
Revolution Church. We are putting you on this show because we believe at Revolution that faith and reason can coexist.
Right, you don't have to throw out one to get the best out of the other.
That's right. And I just want to say greetings to everybody out there who listens to the show on a regular basis. All you people who let us know that you listen. Shoot us messages online, or you stop us in person. Hey, I listen to the show every week.
That's really cool.
It makes our day. It's really great.
I mean, it actually lets us know that we're actually reaching somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. We're making a difference. Mm-hmm. And so things have been going really well. I am happy to be here. If you are a Christian, then hopefully this show can back up your faith, give you some logical reasons for what we believe. If you're not a Christian, if you're not sure about God or this whole Christianity thing, maybe this show can give you some reasons to think about, some facts, some hard data to think about, rather than just fluffy feelings and, oh, believe this because your dad or your grandpa believed it.
We want you to think for yourself.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. We want to provide some logical information. And last week, we started looking at something called The Privileged Planet.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue that today.
That's right. It's a book. It's a video as well. And I've read the book. We've watched the video. We've done a lot of study on this. It's really good information. I want everyone to go out there and buy The Privileged Planet stuff to look at it on their own. We're doing a quick overview here, though. If you want a quicker overview, you can check out the video. If you want a more in-depth one, you can actually read the book with some of the scientific stuff in there. It's made for lay people, not just scientists, so you'll understand some of it.
Not a lot of big words.
Well, there's plenty, but but I think you can handle it. So, hey, if you're listening today, check us out online, www.truthrevolution.tv. Mm-hmm. That's truthrevolution.tv. Up there, we got old shows. We got the place where you can ask questions, send us messages, all that sort of good stuff.
Right. And if you're not doing anything this morning, afterwards, after we get done here, Revolution Church.
Yeah, we're going 10:15 a.m., so actually not too far away. Mm-hmm. Right now, about 45 minutes. So you got time to get out of bed, get dressed, get ready, come on over to Revolution Church. But hey, let's jump in here with The Privileged Planet. We were talking last week about how we know that our planet's different. We asked the question, is it different than everything else in the universe, the other planets, the other solar systems, or is it like everything else?
Right. And when you don't know anything else, you tend to take things for granted.
Right. And, you know, we always say, well, there's so many stars, mm-hmm. and there are so many planets, that there must be a lot of planets just like ours. In fact, the Milky Way, our galaxy, has more than 100 billion stars. That's amazing!
That's a lot.
And there's planets by a lot of them. And so we assume there must be other planets like mm-hmm. ours out there. And we talked about what it means that our planet's a terrestrial planet with plate tectonics. We talked about our atmosphere, the oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere. We talked about the large moon that we have and what that does for us. And we put these things together in the Drake equation, which the Drake equation is basically, for intelligent life to appear, what will it take?
Right.
You know, what are the odds? And usually in the Drake equation, you know, they have these seven factors that they say, if you have these seven things, life will appear. And so they come up with this, equation. They say, there's probably going to be a lot of planets with life. The only problem is they haven't taken into all the factors that you need for life. There's a lot more than seven moderately likely things. Right. Life is more complex than just add water.
Right. Like we talked about last week, when science actually finds water on another planet, they get all excited because, you look at pond water here, and it's teeming with life under a microscope.
Right. But you need a whole lot more than just plain old water mm-hmm. to find life. And now, don't get us wrong. We're not saying we will never find life. That's definitely not what we're saying.
Right.
We might find life on another planet. We're saying you'll find life wherever God puts it.
Right.
Okay. Wherever God has intended life to be, you will find it. It may be on the first planet we send a spaceship to outside of our own solar system. We may never find it. If God intends for there to be life, there is life. But we're looking at the mathematics of it.
Right.
And the mathematics right now, when you add up 20 different factors, it suggests that there is one or less than one planet in our entire galaxy, statistically speaking, that actually has life. when you add up all the factors. So if you come from a mathematics perspective, it looks very unlikely that there's life elsewhere, because the factors, what you need, there are so many different things. And that's just 20 factors. Hugh Ross has compiled a list of 200 factors.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk today a little bit about not just the life piece of the information, you know, what do you need for life to occur? We're going to talk about what you need to actually be able to study and be intelligent life, right, and to learn things.
Well, and the possibilities, when you start to think about it, are kind of overwhelming and a little bit scary, that maybe this entire galaxy was made just for us.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be crazy.
I just, and you know, we don't want to say, hey, you know, let's be arrogant now,
right,
because
yeah,
it's all about us, you know. But there is a real possibility that we're the only intelligent life in the galaxy, but not just because of that. I want to look at some things here that we're going to look at today, like eclipses, for instance, mm-hmm, that occur on Earth and give us a very, very good view of God intending us to be smart and intelligent beings, and so that can study and understand our universe. Guillermo Gonzalez, who wrote the book Privileged Planet, he was describing his trip to India to see a total solar eclipse. And he says, to experience a total solar eclipse is much more than to simply see it. The event summons all the senses. The dramatic drop in temperature was just as much a part of it as the blocked sun and the oohs and the ahs from the crowd. Just after the total phase ended, many burst into spontaneous applause as if rewarding a choreographer for a well-executed ballet.
Encore!
Yeah, I mean, so what does it mean that we're rare? Is it random chance? Is it something else? Because here's the interesting thing. The requirements for producing a total eclipse of the sun are, you have to have a luminous body, okay, the sun. Mm. You have to have an eclipsing body, the
moon.
Yeah, and an observer platform, which would be known as...
I'm lost.
Earth, dude, come on! All right, Earth. You have to have an observer platform, Earth, the moon, and a sun, all three things. And you can't just have those three things, but they have to be the exact right size and the exact right distance from each other. Because mm-hmm, you know, the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but it's 400 times further away.
Isn't that crazy? I get it. It's like when the sun, or when the moon passes between the sun and the Earth, mm-hmm, exactly, it's exactly the same size as the sun.
Like, exactly the same size. I mean, is that a coincidence? Like, hey, you know, in all the universe, it just so happened, yeah, that our sun is 400 times further away and the moon is 400 times smaller, so it lines up perfectly. You can make, mm-hmm, perfect solar eclipses. Now, the perfect distances and shapes during an eclipse allow us to do a few things. Because you might be saying to yourself, well, who cares?
Right.
So we got this cosmic coincidence, but it doesn't, mm-hmm, mean anything.
Bear with us. Sometimes we set things up, and here it comes.
And these solar eclipses allow us, human beings, to measure the upper layers of the sun's atmosphere. During the eclipse, we can see the flash spectrum, which led to the discovery of helium. We wouldn't know what helium was if it wasn't for eclipses. During May 29th, 1919, during an eclipse, Einstein's theory of relativity was confirmed. Eclipses have provided us with scientific discovery, mm-hmm, that we would not have been able to do otherwise. And check it out. This is what they say in the book. The one place that has observers is the one place that has the best eclipses.
That's awesome.
There is no other place in our solar system or in our galaxy that we know of that has eclipses. We have the best, I mean, not full ones, we have the best eclipses, and we're the only place that has observers.
Right.
The same narrow circumstances that allow us to exist provide us with the best setting for scientific discovery.
That's awesome. You know, I remember when I discovered helium. I was a little kid. I thought they came in balloons.
Yeah. It was like a prepackaged chemical or something.
Right, yeah. I like to talk funny. You know, that was when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you see, What we're trying to argue today is not only did God want life to exist here, that he wanted us to be scientific discoverers.
Right.
He wanted us to learn and expand our knowledge. As, because of an eclipse, scientists discovered helium, 1868. And you think, helium, okay, so great. Like Dave, you know, says, great, so God wanted us to be able to make our voices squeaky.
But and have balloons that float.
But the helium was much more important than that. Did you know that helium is needed for MRI machines?
Really?
It is. Yeah, helium's used in MRI machines. Medical.
All of a sudden, I feel really bad that I might have wasted a bunch of helium when I was a kid.
Well, we were able to do an MRI on you, but Dave made his voice squeaky. I'm sorry you're going to die.
No. Helium's also used in welding equipment. It's used in quantum mechanics.
Really?
Cryogenics. Yeah. Helium also reduces the distorting effects of temperature variations in the space between lenses and telescopes. And so we can see much further and much better with using helium.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we all, and of course we all know the most important use of helium, the Goodyear blimp.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say balloons, but that's close.
Without eclipses, we would not have the Goodyear blimp.
Right on.
So
and no way to see football games from a really cool vantage point.
That's right. So you know, eclipses have allowed this, and the perfect circumstances have allowed this. So, now, the theory of relativity was proven by a total solar eclipse, and the distance from the moon, the size of the moon, the distance from the sun, the size of the sun, the placement of the moon, the sun, and the earth, the observers on earth, all this together provides exactly what we need for eclipses. In other words, scientific discovery was cultivated in our minds by eclipses, by the moon, by the distance. All that is pretty amazing stuff.
That is awesome,
and we got a lot more evidences coming up too.
Right on.
So, yeah.
You wanna do a Bible contradiction?
Bible contradiction.
Yeah, you know, we're into this privileged planet thing that time just flies by, and
no joke.
You know, you forget to do a little segment of the show. But today's Bible contradiction talks about marriage.
Marriage,
love, and marriage. And Proverbs 18:22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord."
Yeah, I have a wife.
But conversely, yes, you do. But conversely, it says in 1 Corinthians 7:1, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry."
Okay.
So Proverbs says that you are blessed if you are married to a good woman. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, it's good for you not to marry.
Yeah, so which one is it? All right. Yeah. In our mistakes list of mistakes people make when they think they've found a Bible contradiction.
I always feel stupid when you say these.
This one is mistake number 20. Or, sorry, yeah, mistake number 20. Not reading the Bible. Okay?
Dun, dun, dun.
They say, oh, look, 1 Corinthians 7 says it's good not to get married. Okay, yeah, actually, I think when you read verse 1, you should go ahead and read verse 2!
You think?
It says, "It is good for a man not to marry, but since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband." So, I mean, he sets this up. He's like, you know, it's good if you don't get married, that's good, but you should. That's a good thing, too. Mm-hmm. And so he's not saying Proverbs was wrong. It's right. Bad to get a wife. He's not contradicting. He's saying, look, I would like you to consider singleness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you just read a few verses later, verses 32 and 34 says, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. His interests are divided." Then he goes on and he says the same thing about women.
Right.
You know, if they're single, they can worry about what God wants. If they're married, they have to worry about what God and their family wants.
Right.
And that's all he's saying is, look, you know, your interests can be divided if you're married. So really think through this. But he's not contradicting Proverbs 18. In fact, he ends up and he says at the end there, "He who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better." So he says it's both good.
Right.
Having a wife is good. Being single is good. Both of them are good.
Right. I guess that all depends on you.
Yeah. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction today. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about the habitable life in our cosmic epic. We're going to look at the time and our place in the universe, our place in the galaxy, literally our location, and see if that has anything to do with life. Check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Come to Revolution Church this morning. We're starting at 10:15 a.m., and we'll be back right after this break on the Truth Revolution radio show.
And welcome back. Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
From Revolution Church.
Mm-hmm. We're discussing how privileged our planet actually is.
That's right. And we've talked about a bunch of factors last week and this week. We've talked especially about eclipses and the moon. We're going to keep looking at other pieces that fill in this puzzle that show that not only is our Earth special in the way that there's a lot of factors that have to come together for life to exist, but also it's just the perfect place for scientific discovery.
Right.
That God not only created life, but he created life that can discover and learn. All right, I want to talk about, for instance, the cosmic habitable age. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week we said something about our place in the solar system. We're the exact right distance from the sun, right? A little bit closer, water would freeze. A little bit further away, water would boil off. We would die if we were any closer or further away from the sun. Now, this is also true in our galaxy. Just like our Earth has to be at the right place in the solar system to be habitable, our existence has to be at the right time in our order for our location to be habitable. Okay, this isn't just like our location physically. This is our time.
And so you're basically talking about maybe the age of our galaxy.
The age of our galaxy. Mm-hmm. Okay, very early in the universe, it was a dense galaxy, hot plasma, elementary particles of light, nuclei. It was basically a hostile environment for life of any kind.
Right.
Okay. It just life couldn't have existed earlier than this period of time in our galaxy. Now, they say in the book, if we think of everything an environment needs to support life, especially complex life, then cosmically speaking, probably only a fairly short period in the history of the universe is habitable.
That's actually kind of scary. When is that going to end?
Like maybe a few hundred thousand years. Don't worry.
Right,
but like, I mean, really, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, we're talking, you know, 14 point some billion years old.
Right.
And there's really only a small period of a few million years that would actually sustain real life. And less than that would sustain intelligent life.
Right.
And so this is kind of a big deal. The life essential elements heavier than helium weren't present in the universe until they were made in the first stars and then ejected. You have to have these things for life.
Right.
The first generation of stars began seeking their environment perhaps a few hundred million years after the beginning of cosmic time. And that's another quote from the book. We're at the right place, the right time, all this stuff. They go on. Here's another interesting quote. Radioactive isotopes of potassium, thorium, and uranium are becoming less abundant because the ratio of type 2 to type 1 supernova, that's a type of star, is declining. In other words, there's less of those elements because the type of stars needed to produce them are becoming less. So, Earth-mass terrestrial planets forming today will, in 4.5 billion years, have about 60% of the internal heating available from radioactive decay in Earth today.
I see.
So, a plate tectonics will probably not be as long-lived in future terrestrial planets.
Okay.
And a planet with less vigorous convection in its core may not develop a strong magnetic field. So, we'll have less heat, less magnetic fields, less plate tectonics. And you need all things like that for life. So, we're at the exact right moment in our galaxy's point in time where this would occur.
Right. I was worried there for a second because you were using a bunch of big words or a bunch of words stuck together. I know what those words are. I'm not really sure what the idea is, but actually, but when you get down to it, I mean, basically what you're saying is right now, life is habitable on our planet or in our solar system or in our galaxy at this particular time, but on down the road a few million years.
Yeah. It's not going to be that way anymore.
Yes. Quality of life will begin to decay
exactly.
in the universe.
Exactly. Not only the quality of life, but the ability for life to even occur will cease to exist. You know, all the buildup of metals has made the universe a very habitable place until now. This trend is not going to continue indefinitely. Plus, most of the giant planets around stars that produce metal have orbits that are hostile to habitable planets.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if you have a planet that produces metals, the fact that your planet is not going to be obliterated by these other giant ones is
right.
pretty low. You know, our planet just happens to be in a solar system where the giant planets protect us instead of destroy us.
That's awesome.
That's very convenient, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, you remember the Shoemaker-Levy comet?
No.
Or the asteroid or whatever it was that crashed into Jupiter? It was a big deal about maybe 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was like the first time that science had ever seen anything like that.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and basically, you know, Jupiter might have saved Earth.
Yeah, that's right. And there's Jupiter and Saturn and some of those other planets out there, I mean, they take a lot of beatings mm-hmm. from stuff coming in the solar system
right.
on our behalf. You kind of clear it out. So mm-hmm. The hardy residents of the early universe, say a billion or 2 billion years after the beginning, would have a front row seat to a spectacular fireworks display of nearby supernova and quasars. So when most of the stars in the Milky Way galaxy formed, hot dust blocked the view of the distant universe.
Wow.
So what this is saying is not only are we at the perfect time, but we're at the perfect place for scientific discovery. If you existed earlier, well, you probably wouldn't have existed earlier because right. it wasn't available for life. But if somehow you were super strong and able to exist in those conditions, you wouldn't have been able to discover anything about the universe anyway.
Right. You would have been shrouded by the dust
yes.
in the universe.
Exactly. So we live at the exact right time for life. And the exact right time for scientific discovery.
That's awesome.
The universe would have looked a lot smaller billions of years ago. The distance observers can see at a given age of the universe is called the particle horizon. Okay? And the particle horizon right now is as large as the distance of light has traveled. This is literally, we can see as far as it is physically possible to see as far as light has traveled.
And basically what we've seen via telescope about 14 billion years?
Yeah, 14 point some.
Okay.
So like 14.4, whatever the current theory is right now.
And
so.
how fast does light travel? That's big.
Really fast.
That is big.
You're catching me off guard here. I think it's like 165,000 miles an hour or so, miles per second.
That was actually hypothetical. You didn't need to answer
that. Well, thanks a lot for making me look dumb. No. I'm sorry I don't have the speed of light memorized. But anyway, you know, and this is not the only thing. We have the moon. We have plate tectonics. We have our... The what we just talked about, the cosmic habitable age. The point is the age of the universe is perfect for complex life to thrive and make discoveries about the universe. And in this book, Privileged Planet, they give more than a dozen examples of necessary elements for life and the ability to make scientific discoveries. So just another cool one of these things is the atmosphere. The Earth is one of seven bodies in our solar system enveloped by gas. But only the Earth's atmosphere is transparent.
Right.
We're the only one that has a transparent atmosphere. As Earth moves through the universe, it's bombarded by radiation. And the atmosphere allows primarily visible light to come in and nothing else. It's essential to life that we get this light. It's essential to discovery.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to see. And if we didn't have a transparent atmosphere, right. we wouldn't know anything about the galaxy outside of our atmosphere.
And that brings me kind of back to Jupiter again. You look at Jupiter and the surface, or what you see on the surface, that's their atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Their atmosphere. That's its atmosphere.
That's right.
They say like there's somebody living. That's their atmosphere.
That's right. It is Jupiter's atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's not the floor, the ground.
Right. And if our atmosphere was actually looked like that, there would be no way for us to see the stars or even actually live.
That's right.
But
exactly. And that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Not only would we be dead, but even if we were alive, we wouldn't be able to discover anything
right.
anyway. Mm-hmm. God has made this so perfect that it's perfect for life on our planet, but also scientific discovery. Complex life is virtually impossible on or inside the outer rings of our galaxy.
Right.
Not just our solar system, but our galaxy. Check this out. This is known as the galactic habitable zone.
So we're in the habitable zone of our solar system.
And we're in the habitable zone of our time.
And the habitable zone of our galaxy.
Of our galaxy.
That's crazy.
Even within the galactic habitable zones, the spiral arms mm-hmm. in our galaxy are dangerous places. Okay? If you were closer to the middle of the Milky Way, you'd have a serious problem. If you're further away, you'd have a serious problem. Life couldn't exist like that. But what we're saying is we exist in the exact right place for life and discovery in our galaxy. Because Even within the galactic habitable zones, the spiral arms are dangerous places. Supernova, star formation exists in these spiral arms. The Earth exists precisely between the Sagittarius and Perseus arms of the Milky Way. Mm-hmm. Exactly the perfect place that we're not bombarded and killed by supernova, radiation, right. star formation, but we can also see everything else about our galaxy.
Right.
Now, it's not only needed for life, but it's needed for astronomical discoveries as well. I mean, this is pretty interesting, isn't it, Dave?
Well, yeah. Anybody that looks at a spiral galaxy can see. The very center of it is very white, looks very hot and very hostile, and then the arms spread out, you know, and circle around in a spiral formation. And yeah. if we were in those arms, it'd be like basically the same thing as living in the middle of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, even on, you know, like Star Trek and stuff like that, you couldn't go through the arms. You had to actually go around.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Let me give a quote here from the book. It says, "What you have is a universe that is not only finely tuned for life to occur, but also has a beautiful, elegant mathematical structure, mm-hmm. and structure such that we can discover that structure."
That's awesome.
You know, God didn't design a universe that can barely sustain life.
Right.
He designed a universe in where our planet is in the exact right location, the exact right time, the exact right place for life to occur. But we're also in the place where we're exact right time, exact right location for scientific discovery to occur.
So are you saying that God wants us to be smart?
That God wants us to use our minds, that God intended us to be discoverers and be able to expand our knowledge, to know more, to be able to live in such a way that it's not all about, oh, we trudged through life today, we made another mud hut, and we balanced right. our way through life. He intended us to live in such a way that we can know more about our Earth, mm-hmm. more about our atmosphere, more about the solar system, more right. about the universe.
And he doesn't want us to be ignorant. So what you're saying is that God makes it possible for faith and reason to coexist.
That's exactly right. Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, mm-hmm. being understood from what has been made, so that men are without an excuse."
Right, and if we lived on Jupiter, we couldn't see it.
We couldn't see it, but we can, since the creation of the earth, it says. You know, Psalms 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Here's maybe a good reason why God wanted us to see the universe mm-hmm. and understand that it was a vast, enormous place, because it's declaring his works. Right. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You know, there's a whole bunch more we could go into here today. We could talk about the strong nuclear force. We could talk about Isaac Newton and how he believed that he was not only a scientist, but he was a theologian. Yeah, I mean, he is known primarily as a scientist, but he's also a theologian who believes strongly in God. And did you know that Isaac Newton wrote more about God than he did about science?
Really?
Yeah, he did. And this is just, it's fascinating when you look at guys like Copernicus, Kepler, and Galileo, Newton, all these famous scientists. They believe that the universe was the product of a mind. Because you cannot see all of this and see that God made a perfect place for life to exist, a perfect place for life to grow and flourish, and also for scientific discovery to exist, and then just say, well, God probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. So what I'm encouraging everybody to do is to go ahead and research this yourself, you know?
Yeah. Ask questions.
Yeah, go ahead, get out there, you know, start studying this, check out Privileged Planet, check out Revolution Church, start at 10:15, so not too far from now.
15 minutes.
Check us out online, www.truthrevolution.tv.